say, I did have a couple of things to tell you just because they're funny, not because they have anything to do with anything. Some of you may, on Sunday afternoon sometime, turn on one of the NASCAR races. I have a son-in-law who is a NASCAR aficionado, so I can let you do that a little bit. Last Sunday was the first race of the year. It was a Daytona 500. George Bush flew in for much of the race. And we had our television sound turned off, which turned on the closed captioning. And every time they would say President Bush, it would come out B-U-X-C-H. A new and modern method. If you've been troubled with how much you're watching television, there is a proven method to reduce your television watching. My friend became one of the Nielsen family. And it turns out there's not an automatic recording. You have to fill out a diary. And my friend reported that rather than watching a particular show, the person would change. I don't want to take the trouble to record that in the diary. Why do I do that? And apparently, the television watching has dropped something like half or less than what it was before, which I thought was interesting. The third thing is, you may have heard just a moment ago, Allison making these announcements about the prime time and their activity. On Friday, we had a world-renowned organic chemist come to talk with us. It turned out the timing was wonderful. This is a fellow who has developed what is called a blockbuster drug that is being marketed or going to be marketed by one of the major pharmaceutical companies. And about, we had scheduled him months ago, and about 2 weeks ago, he had the FDA approval. If you get approval, then you can actually start making money off this thing. And this thing has been in the works since 1980 sometime. And so the timing was just wonderful. We're all celebrating. We went over to the city dining hall for lunch, and I'm walking through the food court area, and all of a sudden I feel someone come up behind me and give me a great big hug. And I turn around and look, and see that Allison, the prime time was over at the University of Northern Virginia Baptist Historical Society, and they came over there for lunch, and she's walking through, and oh, well, you know, I just can't help myself. I hear something bad. Last week, we were still in our introduction to Revelation. We had gone only a little bit with Revelation itself. And we had one thing pending. We had talked about living creatures. And we had mentioned several of these. Our discovery has been if a marker writes clearly, it will not erase. And if it erases nicely, it will not write. Does anybody remember from last week the first three that we talked about? I won't put it in a squirrel, although they did in the comments. There was also a goat, lamb, ox or calf, eagle, and usually when you see the man, it's the face of a man, and then dragon. Okay. Now, what I want to do is just alert you to something, and that is that when the phrase living creature or living creature is used, it's not the same word as beast. When our children were little and Barbie was just no kind of meat, we would very often say we're going to have roast beef. Looking at some horror at what was on the table. It turned out there's two different Greek words for these. The word beast comes out of words that also are used for this. The word living creatures comes from a different word. So they're talking about two different things. So goat maybe doesn't belong in this list if we're talking about living creatures, and dragon maybe doesn't respond to this.
fact, you had an assignment when you left. You had an assignment last week. That's okay. The assignment was to read two things. One was those within Ezekiel, and one was in Revelation itself. So, if you will look up in Ezekiel, some of you will remember Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. If you can find any one of those, you can probably find your way to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 1, it starts out very, very early with some of the visions that Ezekiel had. Verse 4, I looked and a stormy wind blew from the north, a great cloud of flashing fire and brilliant light around it, and in the middle and the heart of the fire, a brilliance like that of amber, and in the middle, what seemed to be four living creatures. They looked like this. They were of human form. Each had four faces, and each had four wings. Their legs were straight. They had hooves like calves, glittering like polished grass. Below their wings, they had human hands on all four sides, corresponding to four faces and four wings. Verse 10. As to the appearance of the faces, how many faces were there? All four had a human face, and the lion's face to the right. All four had a bull's face to the left, and all four had an eagle's face. Now, chemists appreciate that because they just gave you chirality. There are two different ways that you can go. You go clockwise around, or you go counterclockwise around if you go in a certain order. And this gives the chirality of that particular group. I found that interesting. I don't know if I'm or not. But what were the ones that they saw? They saw lion, they saw ox, they saw eagle, and the face of a man. There's a very good question as to what this means. And a note from one particular person, the person that came the other hour, who said, I spent 3 hours with this commentary and this commentary. He had a long list of all things he learned, none of which had anything to do with what I was going to take you to, so that's what I mean. But if you go to Revelation, what you see is something very, very similar. Now, we haven't started Revelation yet. I'm not going to start today. But the first chapter of Revelation gives you an introduction. Gives you a picture of Jesus. And then out of that picture emerges Jesus providing to John letters to seven churches. And those letters are recorded in chapter 2 and chapter 3. So when you get to chapter 4, something new starts up. And what starts up is no longer on earth. The same shift to heaven. So if you look at chapter 4, verse 1, then in my vision I saw a door open in heaven, and I heard the same voice speaking to me, the one that's speaking to me on earth. A voice like a trumpet saying, come up here, I will show you what is to take place in the future. This is why most people think that Revelation is a picture of what will take place in the future. We'll talk more about that a little later. With that I fell into ecstasy, and I saw a throne standing in heaven, and the one who was sitting on the throne, and he begins to describe that person. And in verse 4, around the throne in a circle were 24 thrones, and on them 24 elders sitting dressed in white robes with crowns of gold on their heads. Verse 6, in front of the throne was a sea as transparent as crystal, and in the middle of the throne and around it were four living creatures. Now, in Ezekiel, one living creature with four faces reproduced four times. This is four living creatures, each one with a single appearance. Four living creatures, all studded with eyes in front and behind. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like my translation uses the word bull, so we'll put that into the list as well. There's still at this point. I would like the word ox, because I think that's a little better for what we're trying to do. The third. The first creature was like a lion, the second like a bull, the third living creature had a human face. Notice the different ways of saying that. Unless they was like a human, it just said had a human face. And then the fourth one goes back to like people. Okay? These are the four living creatures that had six wings, seven with eyes all the way around, as well as inside. I'm not sure what that means. And day and night they never stopped singing.
But tonight, every time the living creature is glorified and honored and gave thanks to the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders prostrated themselves. I always struggle with that. The number of monsters in my head right now are enormous. Prostrating themselves before him to worship the one who lives forever, and threw down their crowns in front of the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, and your God." Now, what did the living creatures represent? Great deal of father coming with it. What did the 24 elders represent? A little father coming with that. Let's do that one first. Last week, we learned what 12 meant. What 12 represent? What does 12 represent? You have to go back to the And just to keep you convinced that good about this, the number, the listing of the 12 tribes turns out to be different in various places. Even Revelation is not perfectly consistent on that. But still, the idea of 12 associated with Israel, the Old Testament, God's chosen people. Chosen, God said, "I'm going to put blessings on you, and through you, those blessings will flow to the whole world." Some commentators think that what happened was the people of Israel said the blessings flow this far and no further. And God said, "That wasn't my plan." Now, in the New Testament, the word 12 is associated with the apostle, which means the leadership of the church, or the church. You can see that. So when there's 24, what would be an easy way to interpret that? I'm not saying this is right. What would be an easy way to interpret that? Representing all the new. All the new, yes. I don't know who those 24 elders are. Neither do you, neither does anybody else who's written a book that thought about writing a book. But it's likely that something like that may talk about God's redeeming and the number double, so that you understand we are not leaving Israel out and we are not stopping with Israel. Probably that's what it means. So what are the four living creatures? Why those four? Lion, an ox, an eagle, and a face of man. Notice how it always says the face of a man, it doesn't say man. Well, four represents the spirit of the world. That's right. But tempting to go look for a connection there. There's a more interesting connection, I think. Some of you will have heard Jesus referred to as the line of if you were Chinese, and I asked you what year this was, what would you say? How many years are there in the Chinese calendar? Yeah, but how many years are there? 12 in their repeat. 12 in their repeat. Okay. So I'm not saying that the number 12 is uniquely associated with this. In this book, that's probably what it's referring to. That number has sort of crept into the lexicon. We have signs of the zodiac, right? Well, that sort of connection between the sacred and the secular actually works back in the Old Testament. The lion was a symbol for the tribe of Jesus. And the other tribes had symbols as well. And if you look up the ones that have these four symbols, this symbol, this symbol, this symbol, this symbol, I'm told, and I'm not telling you this is right, I'm simply telling you what I saw, I am told that it names four particular tribes. Judah is the one that's named with lion. Reuben, I think, is named with ox, and then there's two others out here with those ones. If you go all the way back to the Old Testament, something really interesting happens. When the people camp during the time of the wilderness, have you all read the boring parts of Pleasant? Remember we talked about that from time to time? When they camp with what in the middle? The tabernacle, the place where the Holy of Holies was kept, back set up in the middle. And how did the tribes arrange themselves around that? They arranged them on four sides. And there was a nearest tribe on each side, and then there were two more behind it. So you have a total of 12 tribes laid out in that form. Okay? And the four nearest tribes, it's lion, an ox, an eagle, and face man. And the four tribes. I'm told that being the case,
living creatures could in some way refer to Old Testament Israel. What is it for that's associated with the New Testament? For nothing. Somebody really clever pointed out something. And I think he's on to something, the one who pointed this out. What he pointed out was there's four Gospels, because the Gospels were written for four different groups. So let's walk through for a moment. Who was Matthew written for? You may remember that what was left was the whole land of the Old Testament. This was Judah. The northern kingdom was Samaria. He had come to be Samaria and was really not part of the Jewish people. There was this animosity between the Jews and the Samaritans. Remember, the Samaritans were the remnant of the northern kingdom. Now remember, some of this, you've got to go through the Old Testament one more time. Maybe somebody will do that. I don't know when. And therefore, the book of Matthew was written to reach Jewish people. Now, what symbol more than any would be a good symbol for the Jewish people? The lion. Because Judah was the main tribe. He was like, Judah and Benjamin were two of the main tribes. Two of the southern kingdom back in the split part of the Old Testament. So there are many people who say, when you see the lion in those living creatures, what you're really seeing is God's power represented through that gospel. God's power represented through that gospel, a power that can reach the Jewish people. That book, more than any, can reach the Jewish people. And therefore, when you go through that book, what do you see? You see lots of references to Old Testament prophecies, lots of references to how Jesus fulfilled those prophecies, lots of references to the law and how the law was worked out, and how Jesus' work is transcending that. Lots and lots of references to Jewish work. When you go to Luke, who was Luke written for? Yeah, not so much the Gentile, that's a little bit too big group. That was written more for the Gentile. Luke was written. For the Greeks. Okay. Now, we got this taken care of. What do we have left? We've got ox, eagle, and a face of a man, right? Okay. What was the Greek exercising?
The
ability of human beings to learn and understand what the world is all about. So the person who looks at this says, Luke is represented by the face of a man. And the support, now don't forget, the four living creatures can just as well represent Israel. But there's a few people, I think the elders on here, who see 24 elders as representing God's redeemed people, both in the Jewish world and in the Gentile world, and sees the four living creatures as representing something similar, something that speaks to both groups. And get that so that when you get here, line it up with the gospel. You've got a gospel that's addressing the folks who see intelligence. Or understanding, education, if you will. Okay? And that leaves us with two others, Mark and John. Anybody want to guess which was the symbol stuff? John sure sounds like the eagle. You've got one of the most spiritual books that you'll find anywhere in the Bible. And John has been represented by the eagle. So what is Mark representing? Now, if Mark is representing the ox, does that make sense? Who was not written for? Bravo. Mark is written for the Romans are a lot more like Jack Webb than they are like
him. Do you remember Jack
Webb? I'm Jack Webb. What did he say? Don't try to go in and write down what he did.
If you want a simple presentation of the gospel, if there's somebody who needs simplicity, just the fact man. What do you send them? You don't send them to God. God is not send them to Matthew. Mark is also a good place.
Everybody okay?
Yes. Yeah.
And there are also a lot of records. Lots of power. Lots of power.
But sort of a brute force rather than the kind of intelligence.
And if so, John is...
Yes.
Go ahead and dive into it.
In the picture then, the book of John is written for people who are seeking the spiritual. Wherever they are, whatever they are. And that's one of the reasons the context that is probably so different from the other, is because it's got a very different job, that it's not targeted like the first three, but it has a very different job. Nowadays, we simply refer to these as
speakers. I know last week you said that equal represents past three valleys. Now, the Romans were, I mean, were still an evil. Evil supremacy, you stated that last week. But an ox was more so of a bovine creature used by the Egyptians as a spiritual sacrifice. Now, I was under the impression it was reversed with symbols. The ox represents spirituality, the eagle represents power, brute force, because the eagle represents Rome.
Another response to him, maybe so. All I'm saying is that when you see the four-legged creature, what you may be seeing is God's provision as demonstrated with the Jewish people. The tabernacle at the center of that. Or God's provision as represented in the New Testament with Jesus at the center of the gospel. The message is similar if that's the case. I don't know if that's the case. It's just something I don't think I can go by without pointing out to.
Are some of these reversed? Maybe. I like this one because I think Romans are a lot less like eagles. They can put all the symbols they want, but I think they act more like oxes than they do like eagles when you go back and take a look. And the people who might have been in the Caesars take the Magi who came to find the Lord. That sort of group, John will be rooted for them to help them understand spiritual dimension. Now, in the Gospels presented to these people, how did they present? They were all presenting Jesus. How do they present Jesus? How does Matthew present Jesus? Nice try, but no. It's written for the Jewish people. How does he present? You get the part of it. He's presented as Messiah. God's anointed one promised in Paul the prophet. That's the way he was presented. I'll just get it. I want to make sure I don't mess up here. Yeah, I just want to make sure I'm getting one thing right.
I told him all he knows.
This aspect of Jesus
It's a simple connection. I don't know. Notice we're not talking about revelation. Did you notice that?
Do you still know that you're getting ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is fully human.
That's what Luke is doing. And what is John doing? You get those pictures of Jesus, and you have them with you. And the living creatures may be represented as the tabernacle in the middle of God's people in the Old Testament. Jesus at the middle of God's people in the New Testament, and seeing him the way they laid out the tent of the Old Testament and the way the gospel was. In my vision, I saw the Lamb break one of the seven seals. And in my translation, the word Lamb is capitalized. It's not A-Lamb, this is B-Lamb. Break one of the seven seals. We skipped over the thing in chapter 5 to bring you to this point. Seven seals is a scroll. Scroll seals are seven seals, and alone the entire mental will. legal document giving ownership of something. The Lamb was found worthy to open the seals, and there were seven seals. And here's what I want you to pay attention to this time. Okay? There's a living creature mentioned in verse 1. Pay no attention to that. There's horses and riders mentioned in verse 2. And verse 3. But notice in each case, the living creatures were shouting something, and a rider comes forth. How many living creatures were there? Four. So four riders come forth, and each living creature are shouting once. I don't know what that means. But here's the point. When you get to this point of the fourth of those horses coming forward after the living creature has spoken, all of a sudden the scene shifts. Four things happen, and then the scene shifts, and three things happen. It's not seven, it's four things, and then three. Now, when you break the seventh seal, take a look at chapter 8, verse 1. We're not studying Revelation yet. When the seventh seal was broken, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. Anybody have a sense of what that means? Something huge and big is coming, and everything goes quiet as it comes. Everything else that happens, most commentators think, can be simply put under the opening of the seventh fish. And in verse 2 of chapter 8, there's seven trumpets. Okay. And when you see the first four trumpets, starting at verse 6 and going through verse 13, all kinds of terrible things are happening on the earth. And all of a sudden, chapter 9, verse 1, the last three trumpets, terrible things are happening in heaven. Four things happen, mostly on earth. Three things happen, mostly on earth. Angels blowing trumpets, living creatures shouting. You guys remember what the third thing is? You have seals, and then you have trumpets coming out of the seventh seal. When the seventh trumpet, you may not read this yet. When the seventh trumpet sounds, all of a sudden bowls come along. And the bowls are filled with things that are poured out. The first four poured out on the earth. And there's a break. Something like that. In all three cases, seals and trumpets and bowls, whatever they mean, four things happen. And then the break. And then three things happen. And the four things that happen, those that happen in the earth. The three things that happen in either in the heavens or maybe in the spiritual realms. And I just want you to see that as you go back. Natural form. One more. Smoke and ashes. Now, smoke goes with ashes, right? Smoke and ashes. What are ashes? Smoke that's sort of falling back to the ground, or smoke that's never down in the air and struggle. I asked my students this week, what is smoke? I didn't get a very good answer out of that. Can I get a good answer out of you? What is smoke? It's solid, so finely divided, it's suspended in almost fog. Liquid, so finely divided, it's suspended in air. Turns out it doesn't have to be water. If you're in a chemistry lab, sometimes it's not water. We heard about a fire at Princeton. They had an ether still. They were trying to get some ether dry before using it in a reaction. They had a pretty big reactor there. They had 10 liters of ether, about 2.5 gallons of ether in the big glass bottle. And in those days, they didn't have heating mantles. They were warming from mushroom burn. That's what the audience said when they heard that. Cracked out of the thing. Ether came out. Ether saw a fire. Big fire in the hood. It's called fire department. Fire department came in with high pressure hose. And they went like this across the legs. Breaking bottles of every thought of human imagination. Took away the whole end of the field. They just let it burn out. They said, okay. But they just fall that day. They burned water. Whenever God talks to man, there's a different symbol. Don't smoke. But what? Smoke and fire. Did you notice that when we went by the front end of chapter 4? You may not notice that. Let's just go back to the front. think it was in chapter 4.
Smoke turns to ashes. In the Old Testament, when God led the children of Israel through the wilderness, what was the leading?
Pillar of
fire. Pillar of fire. Now, was that a different pillar of fire than it was in us? Let's talk about that. How about that? Probably not. During the day, the light of the sun would see the fire. At night, there's no light outside. You see the fire within. Smoke and fire almost always in the sky. Smoke and ashes always always in the sky. But you see smoke and you follow it on and you see it talking about fire. Then I'll be talking about God's prayer. You see smoke and then you later see it talking about ashes. But something's gone up. But about a year. False start, I don't know where I was going. You go into this section where you start thinking about looking into the judgments they're given. And there's one place where stars are mentioned. It says a third of the stars were swept out of the sky. Were swept out of the sky. It says a third of the water was taken away. I heard somebody talking about this one day. I always just put this in front of you to think about it. If you were alive in 1904, as opposed to 2004. This is why. Here. Right where the church is located. And you found a clearing. And you looked up, how many stars did you see? And today, you stand in the same place as you looked for. How many stars did you see? But I said, start the stars are the same. Maybe more. You can't see them anymore. If you were alive in 1904, and you were set high up in the blue room, and you came along the little mountain stream, and you took a drink, what would happen to you? You would be refreshed. But nowadays, you go up in the blue room, and you find a struggling looking little mountain stream, and you take a drink, what's probably going to happen? It's disappearing. But the water is already gone. The water is gone. It may not be that these judgments are happening cataclysmically, except if you look at the compression along this time. It's a short period of time. And all of a sudden, you can't see the stars you used to see. You don't have access to the water you used to have access to. Yeah, there are explanations for all this. God's judgment is causing it, or God's judgment is allowing it. It is a choice that you have. Okay. Now, two other things to talk about, and I've run out of time, so let me tell you what your assignment is for next time. I don't expect you to do much with this. I really don't. But I'm going to hope that some of you do. I want you to find a commentary. The Church Library has a commentary. I want you to see if you can find a Bible dictionary. Or a dictionary that talks about terms. And I want you to look up some terms. Three of them, but I want you to look up. Here's one. Preterist. P-R-E-T-E-R-I-S-T. Futurist. Now, it's not likely you'll find this one, but you might find that one, you might see this in the context. Okay? And the third term I want you to find, right. Now, we're not going to talk about Revelation next week. We're going to talk a little bit about the way people think about the rapture and connection to Revelation. So I can just look up that word. I will tell you, if you look up that word in a concordance has every word that's in the Bible. References, you know, there's by the word.
Thank you.